With you all tonight. It brings back memories of many years ago with the Good News on the Move teams and co-laboring with you all. In fact, I can almost hear Keith Trevolt singing at a table over here as some packets were being packed with gospel materials to go out into the community. Wonderful to be with you all, and thank you for the opportunity to look into God's Word together. Let's pray once more, briefly. Heavenly Father, please open our hearts to receive your word and help us all to be changed and transformed in whatever ways you desire. Help us, Lord, to think as you want us to think, to see as you want us to see, and to live as you want us to live. For your glory, conform to the image of our Lord Jesus, we ask that you'd bring this about in our lives more and more, even before we are completely conformed to his image with the new and glorified bodies forever with our Lord. We do look forward to that time of his return. And until then, help us to be faithful. Help us to love you, Lord. Help us to live for you, we pray. In our Lord Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes, thank you again for the opportunity to look into God's word together. If you have your Bible, please open up to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. This will be just kind of a launching pad, a springboard, as it were, into the message this evening. And as I was praying about what the Lord would have me to share with you all tonight, a word that came to mind was vision. Now, I'm not talking about like visions and dreams, that kind of thing per se, but vision in terms of how do we see things? How do we look at the world around us? How do we think about God? How do we think about other people? How do we think about ourselves? And you see, our vision is very important. Some people spend hundreds or thousands of dollars, or insurance companies do, caring for their vision. Because without my glasses, I can see you, but I can't see the expressions on most of your faces. And vision is so important, not only physically, but also, as it were, spiritually. How do we understand who God is? How do we understand who the people around us are and how God wants us to relate to people who don't yet know the Lord Jesus is their Savior? How do we look at ourselves? You see, if we get any one of these three issues wrong, it will hinder the work of God in our lives in terms of reaching out to other people with the gospel, as God wants each one of us as believers to do. And you might say, well, I'm not an evangelist. But God has called us all as believers to be witnesses of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And let's take a look here first at Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. And I will read it to you from two translations. First, I'll read from the King James Version, and then from the New King James Version. In the King James Version, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." In the New King James Version, it says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law." So this is just kind of a springboard into the message to help us to see the importance of vision. That word, according to Strong's Concordance, means a sight mentally, i.e. a dream, revelation, or oracle. And we need the oracles of God, as it were. We need the Word of God so that we can have proper vision of who God is, of who other people are, and of who we are, so that we can know how we should interact with people in this world. So those are the three basic things that, Lord willing, we will dig into this evening. You can ask yourself, how do I see God? How do I see others? And how do I see myself? Or how should I see God? How should I see others? And how should I see myself? I'd like to begin with a story. There was a gentleman living in New York State, an elder in a local assembly, an elder in his mid-90s. And how many years do you think an elder in his mid-90s has to live? I mean, we can only guess, right? But it's unlikely that they'll have another 20 years ahead of them. How many years do you have left to live? How many years do I have left to live? The reality is none of us know, do we? We don't know whether it's the youngest one here, the oldest one here, or someone in the middle who will be the next one to go to be with the Lord or to pass into eternity. But this elder in his mid-90s, he had the vision to realize he wanted to see God do more. He's with the Lord now. But I remember him sharing with me, I think it was about 5 years ago, he said, I don't want another year to go by without us doing more to reach out to the community around us with the gospel. This was not a brother who'd never been involved in gospel outreach. This was not a brother who was inexperienced in the work of the Lord. I would say he was very mature in the work of the Lord. In fact, it was his brother who had begun having children's meetings in a garage that later led into the formation of a local assembly there in New York. And this brother was there from the very starting of that assembly. But in his mid-90s, he said, I don't want another year to go by without seeing the assembly do more to reach out with the gospel in the community. Because he realized that though they'd done much long ago, there hadn't been a lot that was done very recently. Now, this brother was amazingly active for his age. And tremendously involved in the assembly. He was at basically every meeting of the assembly, even if he was only one of two or three people who were there on some occasions. And he realized that he might not be able to be very involved if the assembly were to go out into the community with the gospel. Nevertheless, he wanted to provide the leadership to encourage that that would take place, more so than it had been taking place. And so he asked me if I would be willing to help to lead a gospel outreach once a month. Guess what month they decided to begin in? November. Because they wanted to begin right away. Once they decided they should do it, they didn't want to hold back any longer. Again, this brother, he knew, he didn't know how long he has, but he wanted to make sure to encourage the saints while he has opportunity. And so they began in November. Now, yesterday when I was pumping gas, I felt something unusual and something that didn't feel very good. And it felt a bit strange. And you've felt it recently too. And it's the cold air. Now, our family for the last 2 months, we've been down in frostproof Florida. And it's called frostproof for a reason. It very rarely gets a frost. And it's been very hot down there. But so you can imagine farther north, New York State, it gets cold up there. And I think I heard someone say something about 29 degrees or somewhere in the 20s expected one of these coming nights up there. But so praise the Lord, these saints had courage. They'd prayed and they believed God wanted them to do something. And so they were willing to do it. And I remember, I think it was something like November 17th, about 5 years ago, that they began this first monthly gospel outreach. And for the first one, there were about 17 people from the assembly who showed up to be involved in the outreach. Now, this assembly had, on a Sunday morning, there would often be about, I think about 35 people. So that's like 50% participation. Now, the average age of those involved was probably somewhere around 55 years old. 17 of them, mid-November. Who could get that many people out for a gospel outreach? The Lord. Why do you think it is that the Lord could get that many people out for a gospel outreach? It's because of who he is. It's because of his character. It's because of what our God is like. So let's take a look at a few verses about who our God is, who called them to go out with the gospel, and they followed in obedience. These, you're very familiar, I believe, with most, if not all, of these verses, but may they stir up pure minds by way of remembrance. And may the Lord even stir us, myself included, to more action along these lines. Isaiah chapter 59, beginning with verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. When I remember that our God is mighty to save, I often remember this verse. That the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. The Lord is able to save. He's the Most High God. He's the eternal God, the living God, the great and awesome God. And he's ready and willing to save souls. But the question is, are you going to be involved in that process? I believe that tonight, probably every one of you will be involved in that process in the sense that I believe we're going to be praying tonight that the Lord will save souls. Are you going to be involved in that process in terms of sharing the gospel with somebody during this coming week or month, during before this year runs out? I believe the Lord would want to use each of you to share the gospel with somebody before this week or month or year is out, or perhaps even with many people. But the question is, are you willing? Are you willing to be used of God? There's no more important purpose for your life. Sorry. As I look out and see young people and older ones too, I'm reminded that there's plenty that the devil would be very happy for believers to be focused on. The devil would be very happy for young people to be focused on going to university, getting high-paying jobs, and maybe even raising a family. The devil would not be happy with you going out and sharing the gospel with others. But that is the high calling and privilege that God gives us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. God tells us in his word in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, there the Lord exhorts us to pray for all people. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. In the Greek word, there is something like anthropoi. You might recognize our English word anthropology, the study of human beings. I believe it may come from that, related to that Greek word. So it's referring to all people, male and female, men and women. God wants us to supplicate, pray, intercede, and give thanks for all people. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Why do you think it is that God wants you and I to pray for all people? I believe one of the reasons is because of who he is, because of what his character is like, what his heart, you might say, is like. Notice the character of God that we see described here in verse 3, in verse 4, in verse 5. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all, and again it's that Greek word meaning all human beings, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we might ask ourselves, who does God want to be saved? Everybody. Every human being. God wants each one of your neighbors to be saved. No matter what their gender is, no matter what their lifestyle is, he wants them to be saved. God wants every one of your classmates, every one of your coworkers, every stranger you might pass on the street or in the grocery store, wherever you go day by day, God wants them to be saved. Everyone. God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. But we know from God's word, how can they hear without a preacher, without someone to share God's word with them? Well, that's where you come in. That's where I fit in. God wants to use you. God wants to use me. If we're not careful, we can put up hindrances and barriers to allowing ourselves to be used of God. It's easy to do that. Why? Because as human beings, I think we're naturally lazy. Some of you might choose to disagree with me, but I would say that perhaps as human beings, we're naturally lazy, at least when it comes to spirituality and living for the Lord Jesus Christ and obeying his commands related to the Great Commission and the gospel. I was thinking of a message recently, and the title that was on my heart for it, and that's not specifically the message for this evening, but the title of On Your Mark, Get Set, The Lord Said Go. The Lord said, go and make disciples of all nations. The Lord said, go and proclaim the gospel to every creature. What are we waiting for? What are you waiting for? What am I waiting for? Our God has called us to go, and now it's our job to obey. Do we need the help of God? Absolutely. Can we do it on our own? No, we can't. But can God empower every one of us to share the gospel with others? I believe, yes, he can. And I believe that's his heart's desire. Because God wants people to hear the gospel who I may never meet and you may never meet. In fact, there are people that you may meet that perhaps nobody else in this room will ever meet. But God could use you to share the gospel with them. God wants them to know him personally, to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So here we see that God desires for all people to be saved. So when you see someone, you don't need to wonder, I wonder if God wants to save that person. Because we know from God's word that he wants to save them. Nor is God willing that they should perish. Notice what it says in 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse 9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. And if you're like me, you might wonder about that word will there, and you might think, well, you know, does that word really mean will? Like, does it really have to do with the will of God? And yeah, if you look up the meaning of it, that's really what it means. It's really what it has to do with, is God's will, the will of God. God is not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want people to go to hell in the lake of fire and suffer forever. God wants people to be saved. He wants everyone to come to repentance, to change their mind towards him and realize that they're without God and without hope in this world if they haven't put their faith in the Lord Jesus, to realize that Jesus Christ is the only Savior and he's the Savior they need. And he wants them to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and to be eternally saved through trusting in him. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How do we view God? If we miss seeing that God desires for all people to be saved, if we miss seeing and understanding that God is not willing that any should perish, we might be comfortable about being lackadaisical, as it were, about the gospel. We might feel comfortable, as it were, about being, dare I say, lazy about the gospel. If we don't understand that God really wants everyone around us to be saved, and he's not willing that they perish. But when we understand who our God is, and that he does want everybody to be saved, and he doesn't want anyone to perish, how could we help but tell others about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? And you see, as we get to understand the love of God, and as you might take time each day, I encourage you, younger, older, young people, whatever age, please take time each day to read or listen to the Word of God. Let it impact your heart, your mind, your thinking, the way you speak, the things you decide to do and not to do. And as you do, you will find that God will empower you to speak to others in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to tell others about him. I believe you will, as you submit and surrender to God and let God be your first love. That's what God wants in each of our lives, is to be our first love. The one who we are so passionate about, the one we love above all others, the one we want to see exalted in the conversations we have in our communities, in our schools, in our workplace, in the world. And does God deserve that? He does. He's the great and awesome God. He's the one from whom we receive every good and perfect gift that we've ever received. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no change or shadow of turning. God desires for all people to be saved. Do we see that? Do we see it tonight? Do we let it move our hearts? Do we see that our God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance? In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, it speaks about the living God, who is our Savior. And it says that he is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. You see, he wants to save everybody. But in order to be saved, people must believe and put their trust in him. And so God wants you and I to go with that message of the good news, that others too may believe, and to show by our lives that we love him so that others can see how lovely he is. And in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, and he himself is the propitiation. Now, I'm guessing that's probably not a word that most of you have used today, probably not even this week, maybe not even the last month or year. But it means satisfactory payment. Speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, he himself is the propitiation for our sins, the satisfactory payment. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. The Lord Jesus gave himself. He shed his blood. He laid down his life. He died. Sufficient payment for the whole world to be saved. But individually, people must choose to believe in order to be saved. And so our God desires for us to go, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and to plead with people, to beg them on Christ's behalf, that they would be reconciled to God. When was the last time that you begged somebody, that you pleaded with them to be reconciled to God, to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you see how serious this is? Do you see how important it is? Do you see how God wants it to stir our hearts and change our lives? God is serious about this. And not just in a theoretical way. Like sometimes in our minds we could say, yeah, I know that's true. I know it's something that we should do someday. But it's different for us to let God change our life today so that tomorrow we have a boldness and a zeal and a readiness to go and share the gospel with others as God gives us opportunities. And that's how I pray that God would change our hearts and minds tonight so that we would have that zeal, we would have that willingness, and we wouldn't let anyone or anything hold us back from telling others about the Lord Jesus the way our God wants us to do it. Vision. How do I see God? is we see God as the loving and compassionate God who he really is, it can help us to be ready to go with the gospel, empowered by him. I don't see a clock. That could be dangerous. Does anyone know what time it is? Quarter till? Okay, thank you. All right, so not only is it important, how do I see God, but it's also important, how do I view others? How do I see other people? We know that we are to have the mind of Christ. God wants us to think about things the way Christ thinks about things. So we might ask ourselves, well, how did Christ see people? So let's take a look at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And we'll begin with verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Why do you think he went to all the cities and villages? Well, remember, it's who he is. He desires for all people to be saved. He is not willing that any should perish. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, notice what happened. He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Why would Jesus be concerned that they were like sheep having no shepherd? Well, of course you know, because he is the good shepherd who would lay down his life for the sheep. He is that God of compassion who wants to be the shepherd of every human being. All of the 8+, perhaps almost 9 billion of them alive on earth today. The Lord Jesus deserves to be their shepherd. He desires that they would be saved. He's not willing that they would perish. And so he was moved with compassion for them. And so you and I, as we see the multitudes, as we see people, what should happen in us? We should be moved with compassion. When was the last time you saw someone and you were moved with compassion, thinking that person might not be saved? And God may want me to share the gospel with them so that they could believe on the Lord Jesus and be saved. I believe God wants to use you in that kind of way. When our family went to be in Frostproof in the spring, we weren't sure how long we were going to be there, but we were committing it to the Lord and seeking to be led by the Lord. And as we were at the prayer meetings, we began hearing about this gentleman who had cancer. I think it was stage 3 lung cancer. And the more I heard about him and the more we prayed for him to be saved, the more I wanted to understand, who is this man? And the more I had the desire to share the gospel with him personally, knowing his great need and knowing that we didn't know how long he had, nor did he know. And in answer to prayer, eventually I understood who he was, and the Lord provided some opportunities to say hello to him and his wife and begin to reach out to them a little bit, get to know them a little bit, share a little bit about things we saw God doing and see how they responded to some spiritual seeds that were sown. And then someone had told me about an early morning prayer meeting. And finally the day came when I was going to take part in that prayer meeting. And I was up earlier than I would typically be up, and wanted to spend some time with the Lord before that prayer meeting. And so I went to this office in the grounds of Shepherd Christian Community there. There's a hallway that I was able to go to early there in the morning before sunrise and to spend some time with the Lord. And as I was there, I felt led to go out and take a prayer walk. And so I began walking up the street in the community and And then as I was coming back down, I thought, I think that's him. I saw it was still like about an hour before sunrise. And so I just saw this silhouette of a form with a big cane walking down the street. And as I thought, I think that's him, I think I began praying and saying, Lord, you know, please give some opportunity perhaps to share the gospel with him even this morning. And and then he shared with me, as I got close enough and said hello and began walking with him some, he said, this morning I was watching the news, I think it was the 6 o'clock news, and they said, you, or maybe it was the end of the 5 o'clock news just leading up to six, I think that's what it was. But he said, you have just enough time to get outside and see this spaceship go up into the air as a big fireball, it'll look like. And so he said he hurried outside and he saw it. He said it was amazing. And I thought, that's all the opportunity I need. And so I said something like, speaking of things shooting off into the heavens, do you know for sure if you're going to heaven? And he said, well, I think so. And as I asked him a little bit more about it, he mentioned how he was baptized when he was 19 years old. And then pretty soon, we were just about 100 yards from where we'd began, and he said, well, here's the office mailbox. This is where I turn around, and I'm headed back. And I said, okay, well, that's perfect, because I'm going to head into the office. And then as he left, and I opened up God's Word and began reading, I thought, wait a minute. I don't know, like, what that baptism was, what he thought it meant. I don't know if this man's saved or not. And as I opened up the Word of God and was asking the Lord if he might even show me something specific that might help me to know if he wanted us to stay longer in the frostproof area, I'd been reading through the Bible consecutively. And initially I intended to do it in a year, but it turned out being more like 3 to 4 years. If you've never read through the whole Bible, I would encourage you to begin. Even if it takes you 3 or 4 years, just continue, because God will encourage you through his word. But as I opened up that morning, continuing with my reading, I read, then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. And I thought, that's interesting. He was just talking about a fireball going up into the heavens. But I thought, Lord, I know that's not what was intended when these, you know, scriptures were first penned. And so I kept reading on. And then I got down to verse 3. Where speaking about the Lord, it says, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. And as I began thinking about and meditating on how it describes two aspects of God's works, they're great and they're marvelous. And it describes two aspects of God's ways, they're just and they're true. I saw a shadow. And I heard footsteps, and I saw a shadow appear outside the window. It was still before sunrise. And I thought, I think that's him. And there was a knock on the door, and I waved him to come in. And he said, I'm back, like an old penny, I'm back. And then he asked, very soberly, how can I know if I'm saved? I said, wow, that's a great question. And I'd like to try and answer it. Would you like to sit down? And he said, yes. And is it okay if I open the Bible and share with you from God's word how you can know? Yeah, please do. And the Lord provided opportunity to share the gospel with him. And right there before my eyes, I was seeing that great and marvelous are God's works. Just and true are his ways. And that man professed to put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that morning. The next morning, I thought, you better go back there in case he comes again. Sure enough, before sunrise, there he was to look into God's word together. We hadn't planned it, but God did. About a week ago, I believe he went to be with the Lord. It turned out they didn't know until the last week of his life that not only did he have the cancer in his lungs that the radiation and chemo that he went through helped with, but apparently had it even worse in his brain. I believe he's with the Lord now. You see, the Lord was moved with compassion when he saw that people were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Are you moved with compassion when you see people? Am I moved with compassion when I see people? It's easier not to be moved with compassion, isn't it? Because if we think it's none of my business, then we're thinking like the devil wants us to think. We think it's easier because we think it excuses us of our need to reach out with the gospel, but it really doesn't. Because the command of the Lord remains the same, whether we're responding in obedience or not. And God wants us to be moved with compassion when we see people, to see them in their need, and to desire to see them reached with the gospel. Notice what else it says there in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 37. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 37. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." The devil would want you to believe that there's not much harvest left and that it's not the time for the harvest. But the Lord Jesus told his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." Are you willing to be one of those laborers? If God is speaking to your heart tonight, please say yes to the Lord and let the Lord know you want to be one of those laborers. The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Notice what the Lord Jesus said next. "Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And so may we pray tonight that the Lord will send out laborers into his harvest. And as we pray, may the Lord help us to be willing that he would use each one of us as the answer to our own prayers, that he would send out laborers into his harvest. Jesus told his disciples, as recorded in John chapter 4, the fields, he said that they are already white for harvest. White for harvest. In Frostproof there, we were praying that the Lord would bring a harvest among Hispanic workers. A lot of them come on work visas to pick the oranges. Millions of oranges down there. It's crazy how many oranges there are. Amazing. And one day we went to a motel complex, a housing unit, where the Lord had opened the door to share the gospel with people about 10 years ago. And we didn't know where the place was, and we were praying that God would show it to us again. And within, I think maybe the second day we were there, the Lord helped us to find that place. And we pulled in and we knocked on the door of the place where the man who'd been kind of the boss had lived previously, who had gotten permission to go there and share with people before. And he didn't answer the door, but a young man did. And they quickly invited me inside. And the Lord provided opportunity to share the gospel with those four young men. None of those four that I know of received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior that day, but they heard the gospel. And it was evident that they were understanding things that maybe they hadn't understood before. And a bit later on, as they called out some of their friends to come and talk, a young man named Fernando, it seems that he professed to put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. A young man came down from Pennsylvania to spend a week together. Evangelism, discipleship time together was what he was looking for. And as we prayed that the Lord would guide us to, we knew that our time was limited. So we asked the Lord to show us exactly where he wanted us to go with the gospel. Maybe some of you think the Lord can't do that. I believe he can. And so we asked the Lord to show us, to lead us exactly where he wanted us to go. And I remember there was a certain part of the community that I'd seen in some previous weeks, a very run-down area, and I was feeling that the Lord was leading us to maybe go there to share the gospel. But as we drove around the small lake, I couldn't find that place. And I didn't want to waste time, as it were, looking if the Lord wants us out sharing the gospel. So finally, prayerfully, we found a spot that I thought was probably pretty close to it, and we parked and asked the Lord to direct us where to go. We knocked on the door of a lady who said that her husband was not well and that they believed it wasn't yet safe for them to go back to church. We exhorted them from the word of God that, you know, not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, and encouraged them to go as soon as, you know, they felt the Lord was leading them to do so. And the Lord provided opportunities to speak with others that day, good opportunities to reach out with the gospel. About 3.5 weeks ago, my wife and I felt led to go back to some of those same community to speak. There was one individual in particular I really wanted to get to. And we got to that house and had a good conversation with that lady. And then we still had some time, so I thought, well, let's go to this other house, which was the first one that I believe the Lord led us to knock on during that week. And as we knocked, we prayed that the Lord would provide good opportunity to share the gospel or to reach out to them. Within 2 minutes of the lady answering the door, she said, "This morning, I was thinking about you. And my husband and I were talking, and we decided that it's time for us to go back to church. We believe that the COVID has passed enough that it would be safe for us to go back." She ended up, after we'd prayed for her husband from within the porch, she said, "Would you like to meet my husband?" We said, "Yeah, please." And she invited us inside. We had about an hour visit with them, and they said that they would be there at Frostproof Bible Chapel the following Sunday. And they were. And they were there the Sunday after when we were out of town somewhere else. And they were there again this past Sunday. Can God lead you as to where to go to share the gospel? I believe he can. And I believe he wants to. But are we willing? Are we open? Are we willing to say, "Lord, use me. Show me where to go. Show me who to talk to. Give me the courage. Give me the boldness. Lord, open the doors. Give me your love for people. And give me the words to share with them." Those are all biblical prayers from the New Testament of the Scriptures related to evangelism. And I believe our God is ready and willing not only to hear us pray those things, but then to send us forth in answer to those prayers. That assembly in New York, they continued with that monthly gospel outreach. Sometimes it was going out door to door sharing the gospel. Sometimes it was going into like the city center and passing out tracts and looking for opportunities to share the gospel with people. Sometimes it was going near a government housing project building and trying to catch people on the way in or the way out and giving them a tract or a gospel calendar, giving them some good news, looking for opportunities to share the gospel. And during that following year, I think there may have been one exception to them continuing with a monthly gospel outreach. I believe there were at least a few people who professed to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. At least one person visited the assembly. And many people heard the gospel and received it in their hands. And only the Lord knows what the impact will be for eternity. And praise the Lord for that elder in his 90s who said that he didn't want another year to go by without seeing the assembly do more to reach out to the community with the gospel. He had so many responsibilities. He was caring, I believe, at that time for his wife, whose health was not well. But he wanted to see it happen. He was praying for it to happen. He was willing to encourage the assembly to go and see it happen. And by God's grace, it happened. Another year didn't go by without more being done to reach out to the community with the gospel. So as we see the Lord as he is, as we see others for who they are, people in need of salvation, people that we should be moved with compassion to reach out to with the gospel, and as we see ourselves as we are, weak and unable in and of ourselves, but remembering that with God all things are possible and that our sufficiency is not of ourselves but of God, and that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear but of love and of power and of a sound mind, then we can look beyond ourselves and realize it's not ultimately about us. It's about the Lord and us being conformed to his image. And so then as we just submit and surrender to God and let God work in and through us, he can use each of us for his glory and honor. to see the gospel continue to go out in power, led by his Holy Spirit, even to the salvation of precious souls. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that nothing is too hard for you. And Lord, we pray that you'd work in each of our hearts to stir us, that we would be moved with compassion like our Lord Jesus was. And Lord, help us to be moved with compassion such that we're both moved to pray as well as moved to action, as we would seek to be surrendered to you, O God, filled with your Holy Spirit, led by your Holy Spirit, guided by your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us not to limit what you can do in and through any one of our lives, but help us in the coming days and weeks and months and years to see what only you can do through this gathering of dear and precious saints here, as you empower each one for your glory and honor. Lord, help us to see you as you really are, the God who desires for all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, the God who is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, the living God, the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe, even the God who sent his Son to be the Savior of the world, and he laid down his life and he shed his blood so that he could be the propitiation for our sins, the satisfactory payment, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Lord, we pray that you'd glorify your name through each of our lives, and please empower each of us to be your witnesses in the coming days. Please give us the words to speak, the open doors to share your word. Lead us by your Spirit and for your glory, and help us to give you all the glory as you use us for your glory. We ask these things with thanksgiving in our Lord Jesus' precious name. Amen.